3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Today is a great day. A great, great day. I am looking at a Seattle Mariners box score. Yes. Oh, it's been a long, long time. A long, cold winter. But here we sit. And I've got a box score in front of me. What a beautiful, beautiful sight. Yes, a game is in the books. We have an actual box score to talk about. We have actual highlights to play. And we have actual on-the-field baseball to talk about. Glorious. Glorious. We are underway. So a month of spring has begun, and we will follow this closely leading up to the season. So we'll talk about the game that happened yesterday. We'll also hear from Lloyd McClendon. He visited the Cactus League Report after the ball game. Also Kyle Seager as well. This will be kind of a shorter podcast, but back tomorrow as well. So a couple in a row as we get we're in spring training here on the podcast as well. Very happy you're with us. This is going to be a lot of fun. So let's talk about the ball game yesterday, right? Taijuan Walker getting the start for the Mariners, and of course, you know, there's a few things. We'll watch everything in spring, but there's a few situations that we'll be watching more closely than others. And certainly that last spot in the rotation is one we're watching very closely. Obviously, nothing's going to be solved in game one of spring training, but it does not hurt to start with a good impression. And Taijuan Walker definitely did that yesterday.
Walker from the stretch delivers, and a swing and a miss at a fastball for strike three. Taijuan Walker strikes out Matt Kemp. Big, big second out. The 2-2 swing and a miss, strike three, and there's strikeout number two for Taijuan Walker this afternoon. Two up and two down for San Diego here in the top half of the second.
So Walker ends up going two innings in his first start, a very good first step. Two innings, one hit, no runs, no walks, and two strikeouts. And then the rest of the way, just guys getting their work in, their first games in. Although, situation I think that we'll be watching very closely as well. Talked about fifth starter. We'll watch that and document that as we move through spring. Also, I'm very interested in the second lefty battle, Joe Bimel spot from last year, because it is wide open and there's a lot of candidates. And especially in spring training, relievers, you really don't rack up that many innings, especially when you're talking about trying to win a job and a sample set and trying to impress. So even, you know, jobs aren't won or lost in game one of spring training or game two or game three, but you don't really have that many opportunities as a reliever to make an impression. And a couple of guys from the left side that are vying for that spot pitched yesterday. Rollins is one of them. He's one to watch. Rule 5 guy went an inning, gave up a hit and no runs. Perez out of the bullpen as well. He pitched an inning, gave up a run. I mean, it's weird to talk about results here on game one of the spring training, but you know, it is what it is when you're talking about not many opportunities to make that impression. And there's so many guys vying for that spot. I mean, Joe Saunders is in camp from the left side vying for that spot. Perez, who I just mentioned. You have, of course, guys that we've seen in the past here. Litkiew has been up and down the last couple of years. He's trying to secure that second left-handed spot. And you have, I don't know, Kickham maybe, who's been a starter his whole career. Maybe he'll get an opportunity at that spot. Or Rollins, who I mentioned. So a lot of different candidates working for that spot behind Charlie Furbush for the second lefty. So I think that is something to watch even here early in spring training, seeing how innings are divvied up and that sort of thing. Now, other things from the game yesterday, not a lot of projected starters getting the look in the starting lineup yesterday, but a couple of real positives from yesterday. And well, how about this one? You got to love this on the first day of spring.
Here's the pitch. Swung on. Well hit ball. Deep to left center field. This one is going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes. Deep A.J. Peterson in his first springtime at bat with a home run onto the berm in left center field. This kid is going to be something, and the Mariners have taken a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, you got to love that, D.J. Peterson, and it just seems it's a matter of when he's going to be up to the big leagues. That bat, I mean, he is slugged through his time in the minors and popped a home run there in his first spring AB. Good stuff. The Mariners had the lead early and also got a nice ball game from Jesus Montero in the starting lineup.
The 1-0 swing and a line drive softly hit up the middle. It bounces in the grass and rolls to Maben in center field. So Montero 2-for-2, a couple of singles. This one right up the pipe.
Couple hits for Montero. He ended 2-for-2 in the ball game. So good start for him. And this was a game where both teams just traded punches late in the ball game, and the Mariners would go ahead in the eighth.
Curb swing and a line drive, base hit into center field. Miller rounding third, being waved in. Up with the ball is Almonte. The throw to the plate, not in time. Miller scores, and the Mariners have a 3-2 lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning on an RBI single by Mike Dowd. His second hit of the afternoon and his second run batted in.
Yeah, he had a couple of hits as well, drove in a couple of runs, and the Mariners took the lead there. But San Diego would tie it, so, you know, nine innings, that's not enough for the first game. So extra innings, and then the Mariners, they'd win it in the bottom of the 10th.
The pitch to Keevilehan, swing, and he drives it to right field, dropping a base hit. Whoa! And it gets past Liriano to right field. This might do it. Marletta, third, is being waved home. The ball is pinned up by the fence, and the Mariners win it as Marlette comes all the way around from first base, and the Mariners walk off with the win. In 10 innings in the Cactus League opener, thanks to a base knock to right by Patrick Keevilehan. And there was much celebration here at the Peoria Sports Complex for those who stuck around.
There it is. First one in the books. The game is over. The Mariners get the win in extra innings. How sweet it is to have the box score highlights, and we are underway as we weave our way through spring and the regular season. Not all good news, though, yesterday, as the Mariners did have an injury in the ballgame.
Swinging a ground ball is short. Smith to his right. He's got it. The throw to first is high and safe at first base is Lindsey. Noel will score, and Choi is hurt at first base. G-Man Choi is down over at first, holding his leg.
Yeah, G-Man Choi, he comes up injured. Looks like it's going to be a fractured right fibula. That's not good news. No timetable yet, but he's going to be out for a while. 23-year-old first baseman. Last year he hit .282 between AA Jackson, AAA Tacoma in 74 games. A promising player, but this is a rough start, the first game of spring. So he's going to be out for a while. So not good news there, but the first one in the books. So we're underway. So this is going to be fun. We have actual real baseball to talk about, which is very, very exciting. Now we're going to turn our attention to the skipper, Lloyd McClendon. He came on to the Cactus League Report after the ball game to talk about how things look early on in camp for the squad.
What an outstanding ball game tonight. It was a lot of fun, or I should say this afternoon, but it came with a price. We'll talk about that in a little while. But Lloyd, thanks a lot for coming by this evening here on our first Cactus League Report. A 3-2 win over the San Diego Padres. What were your thoughts about game one of the spring? You had a lot of the kids in that starting lineup against the Padres.
You got my $20?
I got you $20.
Thank you. Yeah.
thanks for coming by.
Well, you know, it was a fun day. I mean, obviously, it was a little sloppy, but to be expected. You know, we had a lot of young kids out there playing today, and they played their hearts out, and in the end, they did pretty good.
One of the big names and young kid, but also somebody that you are hoping that can contribute this year. Taiwan Walker goes out the first time. He told me something interesting after the game, that he got a lot of work in, a lot of bullpens in coming into spring training. He said, I'm in a competition. I'm not working on anything right now. I got to be competing.
Well, he did a nice job today. I mean, he commanded the fastball. The changeup was good. Threw some nice sliders, mixed in a curveball. I thought his poise was good. I was really pleased with his outing.
I was wondering, Lloyd, total package coming into this season off of what we saw last year with Taiwan. What are you looking for in terms of his continued development here?
Well, I think, you know, more than anything is just consistency. you know, particularly with the fastball command in the zone, to be able to put it where you want to put it when you need to. And I think his September was a nice September. He really took a step forward and showed us that he can compete at this level. And now it's just he needs to be consistent.
As far as the young guys go, I know for you, you're obviously with the big league club all year, but you get reports from the scouts and know where certain guys are. But it seems to me that you took advantage of it last year, and you already are here in this spring to see some of the younger players. Maybe they can leave some sort of impression on your mind and where they're at. And two of them that I want to talk to you about is DJ Peterson and Kiblahan. Both of them had pretty big days today.
Yeah, they did. You know, listen, I said this before, the purpose of the Major League camp, number one is to get the Major League club ready. You know, number two is to try to play .500 or a little better. And number three is to see some of the young prospects whenever we can. And obviously a game like today is a good opportunity to see some of them and evaluate them and see just where they are moving forward and whether or not they can help us during the course of the year. And a couple of those guys did pretty good. Kiblahan really showed that he's a ball player. I mean, it was just so many young kids that really stepped up today and did a nice job.
You know, talking about Kiblahan a little bit more, Skip, I was impressed not only with just his two base hits, but the way he drove the ball the other way, especially with what turned out to be the game-winning hit there in the bottom of the 10th inning.
Yeah, he really got on top of that ball, hit it pretty hard. And I think when it got to that outfield, it took an extra skip and kind of messed him up a little bit. But just goes to show the type of talent that he has. And I'm really happy that he continues to progress the way he is. And at some point, he's going to help us.
That game came with a little bit of a cost. Tell me a little bit about G-Man Choi at first base there in the top of the ninth inning, had to go up for that high throw. What happened, and you know, what's the prognosis with
Choi? Well, I think, you know, looking at the replays, it looked like the kid that was running kind of clipped his back foot a little bit, and he swung around a little bit, and as he was coming down, his ankle turned over sideways, and he has a fracture. He's going to be out for a while. I mean, there's a fracture on the outside and some ligament damage on the inside, so he's going to probably have surgery tomorrow, and he's going to be out for a while.
For visiting with Mariners skipper Lloyd McClendon here on the Cactus League Report, and we've talked a lot about the youth that was featured in the game today. The last couple of weeks we've been down here watching you, and walking into that clubhouse, it just seems that there's a different feel. There's a lot more veteran in there, and some of that veteran was a youth a year or two ago. They're growing up. How do you kind of characterize where your team is right now?
Well, you know, they are walking with a different beat. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz around our camp, you know, high expectations. You know, you guys have really set the bar very high for us. So
you're welcome.
Blame us. Yeah.
You know what? That's okay. I get it. I understand it. And rightfully so. We, you know, we're a very talented club. But I think it's my job to make sure that this club stays focused and concentrate on the things that they need to concentrate on to get better. In other words, don't put the cart before the horse. You know, we got to go out every day and prepare and get ourselves better to do the things we need to do to compete over the course of a 162-game schedule.
I wanted to know your reaction to Jesus Montero. The weight loss was tremendous. You know, I don't know if he makes the final club, but your thoughts on what he did to remake and reshape his body. And the other thing, I thought he made a nice play at first and a nice split. Mike and I were talking about that when we played first, second inning today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, he's come a long way. I think the first thing, and I think a lot of credit needs to be given to this organization. I mean, obviously, Jesus worked extremely hard, but this organization took a stand and put a line in the stand in the sand and said, this is it. This is as far as you go. We got to get your life back in order. Let's put the baseball aside, and let's get you better as a human being. And I think he's in a good place. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, he's a good family man now. He's a good father. He's got himself in great physical condition. From a mental standpoint, he's in a good place. And now he needs to just go out and compete.
He looks great. I was impressed.
He looks extremely well, and I'm really proud of him. He's come a long way. You know, to think that you've lost close to 50 pounds in the short amount of time that he's lost it is just a great tribute to the hard work that he put in.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference between this year and last year? Lloyd, last year you were really under it. I mean, you're trying to evaluate an entire organization, get to know names of people and put faces to them, and now you come in with a much better idea. You talked about the expectations being higher, but you have to be a little bit more of an advantage for you coming in this year.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, last year was, You know, my blood pressure was up here.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that's in spring training. We hadn't even played a game. But, you know, it just goes to show you that there's just so many things that you got to put in order. And, you know, obviously getting to know the players and putting names to faces and getting out on the field and doing the things we need to do, it was tough, you know. And we did it in such a short amount of time. And I scheduled didn't do us any favors last year either. So. But I think this year is different. I mean, obviously, we've hit the ground running. We know the personnel. They know us. We're much further ahead of the game, and we can put some things in place that we need to do and some fundamental things that we need to shore up going into the season.
Wins and losses aside, what kind of ball club are you going to have this year?
I like my club. I really do. I've always said I don't know how many wins we're going to have. I think this is going to be a very, very competitive ball club. We're just as good as anybody else in our division. For that matter, we're just as good as anybody in baseball. Now, having said that, you have to stay healthy. You know, it's not always the best team that wins. It's the healthiest team that usually comes out on top. So we need to stay healthy, and we need to go about our business and not look too far ahead. And listen, you gotta, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I'm not afraid of any of them. Bring them on.
Visiting with skipper Lloyd McLennan. Lloyd, when I think when you have a lot of competition at a few spots, you know, at shortstop and for that number five job in the rotation, lefty in the bullpen, and maybe one other spot, backup catcher, it means you got yourself a pretty good ball club because there is that competition. How does that process work in your mind from day one to the end of spring, and what are you looking forward from the two kids at shortstop and that number five spot in the starting rotation as you work with your coaches to
how many questions did you just ask me?
About how does the process work?
Well, listen, you know, one thing I told my club is, and it's real simple, I said, when you become a good club, it becomes very difficult to make a team.
Yes.
We don't have that many spots open. And I was very truthful and very honest with them. There's going to be some competition, but when you're good, that's the way it should be. You know, we got competition at short. That's going to be tough. And I might add the kid, you know, Kettle Marte might, you know, throw his name in that mix too. He's a pretty talented young man. So he's in the mix. I mean, obviously, we're looking for a second lefty in the bullpen. And then we got to shore up our rotation. We got some talent there and a lot of talent for one or two spots, and it's going to be very crowded.
You missed the playoffs by that one game last year. You make the additions that you made. You make the progress that you made. Everybody's looking at this team on paper saying it can be this, 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 and this. In your words, how do you get better? How do you get those extra games?
Well, you know, listen, and I understand your question. And I made this point this offseason. We don't start from 87 wins. We start from ground zero, so to speak. And we have to hit the ground running, and we have to do the little things right in order to win. You know, every team in baseball has gotten better. And we can say the same thing, but you have to do the things that you need to do on a daily basis to be successful in this league. And having said that, I believe we will do that. But I think more than anything, that the most important thing is that we've put this organization in a position to be successful for years to come. We're not rushing young players to the big leagues that are not ready. We have superstar players in place. You know, it's my job to define what success is going to be for this club. And right now, I don't know what that's going to be. It's going to take 50 or 60 games to really figure out what we have. But I think moving forward, I like what we got, and I'll take my chances.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what you feel like now that you walk into a ballpark, you got a thumper in that four hole. I mean, you got a home run champion, defending home run champion from last year. Nelson Cruz is now, he's on your ball club. You don't have to worry about defending against him. You just turn him loose.
Well, I mean, he's going to make our entire lineup better. There's no question about it. You know, when you got a guy like that hitting behind Robbie, Robbie's going to get better pitches. Seager's going to hit behind him. He's going to get better pitches and more opportunities to drive in runs. And I will say this, you know, Jack has done a tremendous job, you know. Our number one, two, and four hitters were probably the worst in all of baseball last year. And he's shored that up, you know, with the addition of Smith, Reggiano, and Weeks that could hit in that two-hole. Austin Jackson is back on track. He's going to be with us for a year, and having him leading off. And then with Cruz hitting the fourth, you know, we should be very, very competitive ball club.
Ricky Weeks is intriguing to me. He's somebody that I've always enjoyed watching from afar when he was in Milwaukee. How does he fit into your club, and what are your expectations of Ricky?
Well, he fits very nicely. There's no question about it. He's a ball player, and he's a dangerous hitter, and he really, really hits left-handed pitching very well. And I might add, he's taken to the outfield pretty good. You know, I think he's an athlete. And
he played some in college, didn't he?
He did. He played some center field. And I think the other dynamic about Ricky Weeks, you know, he's a tough kid. You know, he really gives you that different dynamic to your club, you know, that makes the other club think a little bit.
A little edgy.
Put a little edge to your club. And that's not all bad sometimes. So we're really happy to have him.
I didn't recognize him.
He cut the
locks are gone.
Yeah, he cut the locks off. Yeah.
Well, Skip, I tell you what, I wish we had more time. We're in front of the cheering cast of thousands. We want to thank you for coming by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Heck of a way to start the spring season here in the Cactus League.
There's a skipper, Lloyd McClendon. He wasn't the only guest last night. Kyle Seager came on to talk about things.
Kyle Seager. Kyle, what a year for you last year, besides being an all-star, winning your first of what I think is going to be a number of gold gloves down there at third base. We've got a gentleman down there at the end of the table who was pretty good playing that position. Tell me a little bit about how do you wrap up what you accomplished in 2014 and as you get ready for 2015?
Well, you know, first off, thanks for having me here. This is always a lot of fun. This place is awesome. So, you look at last year, and you know, there were definitely some good things that happened. But you know, in all honesty, you look how the season ended, and coming up one game short, and that's about all the motivation and a lot of what the thoughts were about, honestly.
How did you translate that into the work that you put in the off season?
You know, it was easy. It was a you left a sour taste in your mouth. You know, we went from a group where, you know, people had said, "Hey, we're gonna be good. We're gonna get there. We're young. We're building and all that." And then you get to last year, we got over that hump. We had a winning team. You know, we knew there was a different feeling. You know, there was a better energy. It was, you know, we weren't thinking we were going to be good. We were there. We were competing. We felt good about it. So, you know, just coming a game short and having that was a very easy transition to start working out again.
When did you start to get that feeling that you're talking about your club last year?
Yeah, you know, well, we felt good about it, you know, in the off season. You know, we come to spring training last year, and, you know, we knew it was a different feel, that it was a good group. You know, I think, you know, we made some changes, you know, starting at the top with, you know, with McClendon and everything. And, you know, you bring in, you know, your Canoes. I mean, it was a different feel. The whole culture changed.
You know what I wanted to know, Kyle? You and I have talked about when you came up to the bigs and certain guys that you'd followed through the course of your development coming up through high school and college that you wanted to see, all-stars, guys you looked up to. Now you are one. You're an all-star, gold glove. You got a contract extension. I mean, what's that transition from that wide-eyed kid to this point now where, hey, I are one of those guys.
And it's happened quickly.
It's happened quickly.
A lot of guys are saying they're watching you now.
Yeah.
I really can't put that into words. I don't know what to say there. They need to look elsewhere. They can do better.
But, I mean, that is weird. I mean, it was just the other day, seemed like we were talking about, you mentioned this guy, hey, I really liked what he did, and I talked to him, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, that hasn't changed. You know, I've noticed that, you know, more guys ask me questions, which is, you know, a different situation. But, you know, it hasn't changed on my end where, you know, I'm basically, any information that Cano gives me, I'm just passing on to the guy that asked me. So I'm trying to do it word for word so I sound smart and all that good stuff. So they think I know what I'm talking about. So just tricking everybody.
He's that good, huh?
You were here before Cano. Now you have Cruz in here. And it was interesting for me today. It was my first day out on the field watching you guys. Seemed different. And if it is different, what's different about it?
About Cruz?
No, the team. Just the whole team.
Yeah.
Just watching everybody.
The I guess the best way to put it is the amount of talent that's in that room is
you know
so,
it right.
Oh, it's so much better than you know the years that I've been here. I mean, there's so many guys that, you know, not only like could make the team but like would have big contributions, and you know it's such a different feel. There's the amount of experience that everybody's got, you know, the veterans that you brought in and all the different things that we've done. I mean, you it's a completely different feel. You look up and down the you know, not even the lineups, but the whole staff. I mean, everything is just different.
Kyle, I don't think there's any secret to your success. It's hard work. You know, you put a lot of time looking at video, a lot of time in the cages, a lot of time out there taking ground ball after ground ball. And, you know, we saw you coming along. But last year, you know, winning the Gold Glove is kind of special because that position is so tough to play. Talking with Jay Buhner, he said one of the proudest moments of his career was finally winning a Gold Glove after he accomplished a lot in his career. What was it like for you to win that first Gold Glove last year?
Yeah, that was, you know, I had that exact same conversation, you know, with my wife and things like that nature. I mean, it's a different award for me. I don't think there's any personal award that I could win that I would probably be more proud of than that one, just because of, you know, I knew kind of what it took to get there, and to be acknowledged for that is that was a very, very special and, you know, very humbling thing. And, you know, I still got to thank Chris Woodward for, you know, all the help he did for me over there. You know, he was, you know, our info coach last year and this year, and he was phenomenal. And, you know, I'd constantly been trying to learn about, you know, my swing and offensive stuff and all that stuff. And, you know, I thought of third base as more of a, you know, reactionary. You get in a, you know, get in good positions and, you know, do your best, basically. And, you know, he opened my eyes to just a whole different aspect of it and a whole new, like, world to it defensively that, you know, cleaned everything up, made everything a lot easier. It was pretty special for me.
Yeah, it was great to watch, and I know it was a thrill for Mariner fans to see you win that award when that was announced. What was that like in your house when that happened?
Yeah, it was crazy. We were actually at we were on vacation at the beach, and you know, we were sitting there, and I had to pull the little man off the beach. I was like, we gotta go inside now. Sorry, but he was a trooper. He sat there with me, but it was so crazy. I don't know, just all the chills that go through your body. And, I mean, you're sitting there watching and, you know, you're up against. And for me,
tough Beltre. Position.
Yeah, Beltre. I mean, good guy.
Donaldson.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah, right. Donaldson.
Some good players over there. Yeah.
But I put Beltre on a different level than, you know, anybody else, not just Donaldson, anybody. So, I mean, so you're going up against those two and, you know, having a chance to see them all year being in our division, I mean, I knew what they were capable of. So, you know, to see your name get caught up there with all the other winners was it was a pretty special day.
Mariners third baseman Kyle Seager with us. Let's backtrack for a second. You said about Cano, you wanted to repeat stuff that Cano had told you. His impact on you and the team, what he brings. I mean, here's a guy in a Hall of Fame track. What's it meant?
Yeah.
How's that factor in?
Exactly. I mean, what he does on the field is special. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows what kind of player he is. I mean, the game looks extremely easy to him. So, you know, you kind of, when you're going in and you're meeting him, you're wondering, you know, is this just a guy that can just do it, or is he had to, like, you know, think about everything? Is he had to grind on it? Is he had to work on it? And then, you know, you get around him and you start having a real conversation with him, and you see how much, you know, time and energy he's put into it, how much thought he's done beforehand, so that when he's out on the field, it just looks like he's, you know, just playing in his backyard. So, I mean, he's a pretty special guy, and he's got a lot to teach if you and all you got to do is ask him.
Were you a little awed when you first met him? I mean, given what he had done in his career prior to coming here?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I watched a ton of video of him before, you know, he was a teammate. So I'm sitting there watching him. I'm like, you know, how does he do this? How does he do that? You know, look at the positions he gets in. And then you talk to him, and he, you know, he explains the different transitions he went to from, you know, when he first got called up, he wasn't the same hitter that he is now. He had a completely different stance. And I was kind of like, you know, I've been watching you. You've pretty much been doing that. And he was like, nope. And we broke it down, and he showed me everything. And it was crazy, just the amount of thought he puts into it, special.
Visiting with Kyle Seager. Kyle, one more question. I want to talk to you about the Seager family. I mean, how many parents you have? Three boys playing in professional baseball, one right now in the big leagues, an all-star, a Gold Glover. Then you have Corey in the Dodgers organization. You have Justin in the Mariners organization. Tell me a little bit about your younger brothers and how are things going?
Yeah, they're doing really well. Corey's in big league camp over the Dodgers, so he's, you know, he's getting to get some learn on the job training. So, I mean, he's doing well. And Justin just got here. Well, today was his first day coming in here today, so it was nice getting to see him and work with him in the cage. So they're smart guys. They understand a lot of it, and the off season is really cool because you have three guys that are basically working for the same thing and, you know, trying to accomplish the same thing. So you got two sets of eyes on you every time, so they can tell you what you're doing right and they enjoy telling you what you're doing wrong, so it works out.
Enjoy.
They are brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Justin did that today to me. I'm sitting there.
Yeah. What did he say?
Way to go.
First day in the cage, and we're sitting there, and I'm just hitting it, and he's like, yeah, you're not really loading very good. You need to do this. I did it, and I was like, yeah, you're right.
From the mouths of babes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, whatever.
Hey, Kyle, not only good work on the field, but off the field as well. We learned yesterday that you are participating and helping out a teammate who's been through some tough things, raise some money for cancer. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Chase Jones, it's called Adverse Cancer. So he was my teammate in at Carolina in our freshman year. We came in the same class. In our freshman year, he had stage 4 brain cancer. And, you know, you just rocks your world. So, I mean, just the... our whole team just taken back, you know, a guy that you're around, you know, in college, you're there every day with the guy. So, I mean, you're around him more than your family at that point. So, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a, just something that hits you at the core and, you know, you really start putting things in perspective. And then, you know, he started this, this foundation and, you know, he beat cancer and he's still, you know, still beating it. So it's something that's really special for him. But, you know, me and my wife had talked to him in the past that we wanted to, you know, get involved any way we could. And, you know, this offseason after the season, you know, he had the idea about doing the Seeger vs. Cancer and, you know, raising money. You can pledge per hit or you can pledge, just make a donation. And, you know, it's a great cause and it's something that just going through and talking to him about has really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And especially with, you know, our son that, you know, really puts things in perspective.
I'll tell you what, our thoughts and prayers are with your friend and everybody battling cancer right now. So, Kyle, we want to thank you for coming by. Have yourself a great spring. It's going to be a lot of fun this year, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me.
So there it is. There's Kyle Seeger, and we will be back tomorrow. Another podcast coming your way. Back-to-back days as we stretch ourselves out, just like a starting pitcher getting ready for the regular season. We'll go back-to-back here early on in spring. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you later!